Okay. Hi, my name is Kathy, and just a grateful member, beyond grateful member of Al-Anon, Alateen. I was surprised when I was asked. You know, our group is amazing. Our Saturday morning. I know you think your groups are good. Our group is good as well. So I'm very pleased to be here this evening. My head is spinning from the last two shares. You know, with Lynette relatively new in the program and Bobby that I've gotten to know over the years, just is amazing. And so I need to take a breath, ask higher power to guide my thoughts this evening. This is an amazing facility. It's the first time I've been here. I've seen it from the Zoom perspective and then online when Owen was working diligently and his friends, you know, everybody that was involved. And as sitting here and just kind of being, soak it in. It's just really good. My experience growing up, I didn't grow up in an alcoholic home. Both of my parents had alcoholism on both sides of their family, and but I didn't grow up with active alcoholism. Certainly, family gatherings, aunts, uncles, cousins, provided a lot of opportunities for that exposure to alcoholic behavior. And I was just very grateful that my home wasn't like that. I remember staying with an aunt and uncle one time, and they were getting into it. And he was yelling something about, "I'm going to flush you down the toilet." Well, I was probably about, I don't know, four or so. I was afraid to go to the bathroom because I thought I'd be flushed down the toilet. And I just now flashed on that. But those really traumatic, and I don't have that in my childhood. My experience coming into Al-Anon was based on my two adult sons. Now they're 35 and 40. My oldest was probably about 17 or so, between 17 and 20, when I thought Al-Anon might be a good thing for me to help me figure out how I can help him to stop drinking. I was married to an alcoholic, and I knew that when we got married, but I didn't really know what that meant. And I have made some amends to him over the years, but I really did not understand. I thought I could fix it. What do you mean you don't have a relationship with your father? Well, I didn't understand the degree of abuse. And shame on me for not knowing that at that time, but I've learned in Al-Anon that when we know better, we do better. And so that shame, and I've heard that before, the letters that stand for should have already mastered everything. And it's like, oh, save me. Anyway, so growing up, you know, that was not an issue. And so I wasn't prepared for the chaos when my sons were 5 and 10, when my ex moved out and we had decided this isn't working. And I've had the opportunity, had I known and been in Al-Anon back then, not that we wouldn't have been forced, but I would have been more aware of how I was contributing to the situation and how that was affecting my sons, our sons. One of my first meetings was, I just sat and cried the whole time. And it was upstairs in Pleasant Hill in the little church choir loft. And I just thought, I have to keep coming back because I needed, one, a place to cry. Number two, I needed some hope, and these people seemed to be living life along with church. And is this turned on?
Okay. I think we're good. So I was very grateful to be in that first group. And as a result, I knew one of the first things I was supposed to do is to get a sponsor. And there was a person in that room that thought he knew somebody that had a similar story, and of course had to check with that person to see if it's okay to share name and number and so forth. So I was able to meet with this person. I've been with a sponsor for almost 18 years, since day one. So grateful. She didn't run me off. She didn't tell me how to fix the alcoholics in my life, which I wasn't happy about that, but I understand that's the norm. And so I didn't realize how much I needed to be heard and to share some of the pain that goes along with this horrible disease and how I could take care of myself. And it took me a while to figure that out, along with HP's help, who I choose to call God. I didn't realize how insidious this disease could be. And I played by the rules. I was a nice person. Ask anybody. I'm a nice person. And I didn't get the chaos that was coming into my life. That's good. I'm good. Thank you. I didn't know what to do with it. Not that I had a perfect childhood, but I was not prepared for any of the what ensued with my sons. And with my older son, my younger son saw what was unfolding, and he said, "Mom, you don't have to worry. I'm never going to drink, never, you know." that didn't happen. He has a different path. And so as things unfolded, I honestly didn't know how I was going to get through. Initially, I did pull the covers up over my head and just, I was kind of paralyzed in bed and just, how can I possibly function? And, you know, the pain. And I knew that those of you, all of you in these rooms, you understood that. And you dealt with that on a day in, day out basis. And for many of you, you have been dealing with it since early childhood. And so I thought, you guys have been dealing with this disease since you were like this. I was an adult, really, by the time it really impacted me. So although my siblings and my older brother particularly presented some challenges, opportunities for growth. Anyway, that's enough about that. So that strength coming to meetings. And so one of the things that they recommended was to go to different meetings because they all have different flavors and a little bit different focus. And I went to parents of adult children. Very powerful, very, very supportive. And that eased my heart and the piece of me who is a mother. What I found as I continued that wasn't enough for me as a person. And so I needed to supplement and needed to move more into a program for me as a person, not just as a mother. And so that's kind of where my journey took me. And even when I didn't necessarily want to meet with my sponsor, and she was very gentle, and it was, okay, if we can't meet, we can't meet. But I missed that honest conversations. And so it became very important to me. As my sons grew and my behavior became more unacceptable because I didn't know, I was out operating out of a lot of fear. And so it wasn't until my older son had kind of really stepped over the line and had not adhered to the move out date that we had established, and I was away and he had had a major party at my house, crashed it and such. So that was a boundary. I'm done, you're done, see you. And that was probably, I don't know, 13 years ago, something like that. And I've had no communication with him since. We've had once or twice left me a not so nice message at work on my phone, and then a weird text saying, Mom, I love you. Something about having made good choices or something. Anyway, I took it as making amends, and I'm able to love him and accept the fact that he's on his own path. My younger son, one of the turning points for me, and I'm surprised, and my sponsor and I have talked about this since, that I'm surprised she just was able for me to just keep going on and just wait until the other shoe dropped or was thrown at me or whatever. But she knew I had to come to my own end point. And things progressed that I had to get a restraining order against my younger son and his girlfriend at the time. And I remember, you know, restraining orders, those of you that so many of you have been through that, it's not like what you see on TV. It's a really long, ugly process, and yet it was necessary for my safety and for his. And I'm grateful that my sponsor allowed me to come to that on my own. And hearing what we shared in the rooms was part of making that decision, where those boundaries are, the self-care and so forth. And so ugly, just, you know, watching some of the flashbacks with watching my son, you know, shuffle in shackles and just ugly stuff. But there are miracles, which is how I'm going to end my share. The miracles which I first heard, and I heard from so many people, stay for the miracles. Stay around for the miracles. And they're everywhere. My life is filled with them. I do have limited texting with my younger son. He's currently in out of state and has decided, well, for right now, for today, at whatever time it is, I'm not having, you know, ongoing communication with him. I can text him and say, I love you, which I did. His birthday, he turned 35 just a couple days ago, and I was able to text him and let him know that. And for that, I'm grateful. That's a miracle of the program, that I can do that and not, what do you mean? Do this and this and, yeah. Anyway, that's that was then, and this is now, and I get to live my life, love my life. I have a very good life. It isn't what I would have asked higher power for, you know. I didn't see some of that crap coming, and I still don't see some of the good stuff coming. And I wake up every morning and am just grateful for what I have. The miracles that I wanted to share with you before I close with some of the literature that have just been key in my recovery, along with service, along with, you know, the tools of the program that are just everywhere. And I have some really funny stories about service, and the thing is, doesn't matter what you do, they don't fire you. You know, you don't have to know. One of the first times I was a greeter, and somebody asked me at an assembly, and somebody asked me where the 12-steppers were. I was new in the program. I didn't know that I could say, I don't know. I thought it was the name of a group. Like, we were the Saturday morning sunrise. I thought they were looking for their group. And I said, well, I don't know. They must be around here somewhere. I didn't know they were in a box. You know, it's the publication. You know, I still get to do service. So one of the miracles is I get to love my sons. I get to appreciate the fact that I was married to an alcoholic and I didn't understand the disease. And I get to live life differently because I know differently. I was present. This was about, I don't know, 12 years ago, that my older brother, with whom I was very close, and he had a very rough life with alcoholism and drugs, and he had been away from the family for 20 plus years, probably more than that. And he was coming from cross country to make his amends before he passed away. And some of you were in the room when I shared with you. I went down to the train station in Martinez to pick him up. I didn't even recognize him. I walked right past him. And he had lived a very rough life, but we were able to spend a whole week together because of Al-Anon. I went on a pre-planned week. This was at Christmas time. I asked him, I said, can you stay? Because I'd like to see you when I come back, but I'm not canceling my trip. That was an Al-Anon gift. And he stayed, and then I got to see him again when he left. And so I put him on the train again, and he passed away. But we had just an amazing time. My hope is, not my hope, I'm hopeful, I guess, that at some point, maybe tomorrow, maybe not ever, that I will have some kind of communication with my sons. And if that's not in the cards, that's not in God's plan, if that's not in their lifetime or my lifetime, I've come to accept that on most days. I have to work at that one. I recently had an arm adventure so those were two of the miracles, the loving my sons and then being present for my brother, who it was just such a gift to have him in my home for, you know, he got in the shower and he stood in the shower for like 35 minutes because he, anyway. Okay, so my arm adventure 6 weeks ago, I was at Queen Isabel Regional Park with my two dogs. We were just ready to hook up and go home. And these two exuberant 85-pounder pit mixes, exuberant, they were friendly, but exuberant. And they came out blindside, you know, knocked my feet out from under me. I don't roll like I used to. I don't bounce. And ended up with broken humerus and such. It was an ugly experience. It was a total, accident. But as a result, so many angels along the journey from the night it happened until today, that these angels that, and miracles that have happened, that this happened, and I didn't have any friends with me, that I had to leave in an ambulance, had to leave my two dogs with strangers, and it all fell back together. That didn't just happen. It took my friends at home about 4 hours to figure out what hospital they took me to, and then where my dogs were. And my friends had to go to Richmond twice to bring my dogs home. I am going to write this story. I'm telling you, that'll help me be stay committed to this. I plan to write the story up for the Forum magazine because it is such a, for me, it was a powerful story of letting go and letting God. I didn't have much choice. And as I'm on that journey, especially early on, it was, okay, God help me. God help me. I mean, that was just my mantra. And then, of course, I had to throw in some F-bombs along the way because the pain was just, it was, anyway. So coming for the, stay around for the miracles, and they are happening in my life daily. Anyway, I want to close with my three favorite pieces of literature. One is Opening Our Hearts, Transforming Our Losses, the book about grief. And what I like about it is it talks about all kinds of grief, not just the loss of this person and this person and this person, but it was different kinds of grief. Death of a dream, death of a marriage, death of a relationship. Death. I mean, it's an amazing book that's given me a lot of comfort. The second one someone has already mentioned this evening was The Bookmark. And that carried me through a lot just for today. And the beginning of it was always, okay, just for today, I could do something for 12 hours that would appall me if I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Well, sometimes 12 hours was way too long. I had to say 5 minutes. I could do something for 5 minutes. And then what I want to close with is to read the epilogue that we close our Saturday morning meeting with. And it's from an older edition of the 12 by 12. And it's a beautiful journey that I want to share with you. I'd like to share. Al-Anon around the world. The unending flow of letters to and from members all over the world, from many nations, many religions, in many languages, proves that in Al-Anon we are one, united by a single, simple spiritual program. A letter from one member sums up beautifully the way the program works. It's said in part, I often think of a picture that came to my mind when I first read the 12th step and tried to understand it. I look back on my troubled life before Al-Anon when I felt as though I were broken around in a terrifying black cave. There was no way out. No matter how desperately I prayed and struggled, I was trapped. There was no way out of the hopeless confusion of my life. Suddenly, someone, a stranger, took me by the hand and led me around a turn in the cave that opened up into a tunnel dotted by a row of lights. He led me as far as the first light and said, just keep following the lights, you'll be all right. I didn't care where they led, just as long as I could get out of the black despair I was living in. As I walked from one light to the next, the path through the tunnel became more and more bright, and my fears gradually faded. Finally, there came the brightest light of all, sunshine and freedom. The lights were our 12 steps and 12 traditions, which kept showing me the way out of my confusion. With them, I felt wholly secure. I knew there were many others like me who couldn't find their way to that tunnel, lighted with the lamps of hope. Remembering my own pain, I tried to start many others to that ultimate sunshine we find in our beautiful program. And with that, thank you. I will keep coming back. I'll keep looking for the miracles. Stay around for the miracles. Thank you.